chase, okay? What are you guys selling?
You're drowning and I throw you a life jacket. Would you grab it? Yes, good. Pick up 200 shares. I won't let you down.
Pay this man his money.
Ask them how they'd like to see 30, 40% returns. What are they gonna say? No? I don't want to see those returns.
Where's the money, Lebowski?
You're gonna make a lot of money, right?
Be aggressive. Learn how to push.
Show him a 3% return, and I'll trust you to watch his kids for the weekend.
I'm a big fan of money.
Move around. Motion creates emotion.
I did not know that.
That's it. I'm done.
Well, real quick, stocks and giants. Half-time out. He's just about over the board. S&P futures up 775. Dow futures up 35. NASDAQ futures up 56, which is pretty good. Pretty good, except they're up an awful lot more last night. They're up 23 to futures, and we're up almost 1% on the NASDAQ futures. So we've come down from there, but we're still up. Frank, how are you?
Good. Trying to figure out how much longer this up will go.
I was having some conversations with some clients, you know, really over the weekend and Friday. A lot of clients talking to these days because they're doing the same question Frank just had. Of course, I don't have the answer, which is always good. So, hey, how much harder is this going to go? I said, if I do that, I'll say this, Frank. I think we are reaching the point where you're going to have to say to yourself, when you get uncomfortable, that's when you get out. And it's not like you don't want to watch the market, but if you lose 1 or 2%, you got a little give a little something for the next guy, as my grandfather used to say. And I think you're just going to have to, when you're uncomfortable, you're going to have to make the move or protect it, you know, which I would sometimes prefer. Matter of fact, most of the time prefer. But if you go out, we're running into this phenomenon now that the further out you go, your implied volatility wants to leak up. So you're paying a little more for these puts the further out you go, and nothing is more frustrating than to constantly buy short-term insurance and, you know, have it go out worthless, and then all of a sudden, you know, you decide to hell with it, and then the month you need it, you don't have it, which happens, right? And
I had almost 1,000 Cigna 60 puts expired on me right before Black Monday, and Cigna traded down to 28.
I'm going to tell you how bad of a day
about once a year, I multiply 60 times 3,200. Wow. Or 950 times 3,200, and I cry real tears.
I know you know that I had a pretty rough time during the crash. I also think you know that I had maybe 1,500 OEX puts that went out on Friday night and cashed out and weren't available to help me on Monday morning. That was not
good. Oh, I know.
That was not good.
And VIX right now, I look at this and I'm going, geez, it's running about, maybe 50% higher than it has historically.
Oh, at least. Historical volatility.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. The VX, the future, is running at 26. And a year ago, we were trading 11.
What's the historical vol in the, I'm going to say OEX, now SPX, it's what, 12? 11 or something?
Oh, at least I could pull it up right now. But I'll have it in a few minutes.
I'm going to say we have this weekend, with all the violence, we'll get a load of this, Frankie Suburbanites. I had some workers over, so of course I'm the greatest guy to work for. If I'm over at the Dunkin' Donuts, I'm getting everybody their bagels with the, you know,
sugar and caffeine fix.
No, they do the blue. What's the blue? There's a blue.
I have no idea. Teas and blue were a heroin substitute back in my youth.
I'm talking about the fake sugar.
The fake sugar, yeah.
There's the blue, there's the red, the yellow. I don't know what the blue is.
Oh, I had no idea. I drink my coffee just
me too.
Double strong, straight. Black.
Yeah, well, they, anyway, so I get, so I'm looking around, I'm hearing this noise. I mean, what the hell is that? Of course, oblivious to where I'm, you know, driving. I see all these garbage trucks all idling. This is at 8 o'clock in the morning. Guy's sitting in there, and I'm going, what the hell? And they go, oh, yeah, they're going to if somebody comes after the Binions and the Best Buy again, like people thought all weekend, everybody's gonna ride all over the place, and if they're gonna block the cars in or out or something. By the way, they probably listened to the show. I mean, wasn't I mentioning that when people were downtown in their cars, they should have blocked them all in and said either walk home or come over here and get arrested, one or the other? We seem to have a little lack of common sense on some of this stuff, but anyway, that's what we do these days. So what are we paying these guys? Time and a half, twice, all day long to sit there? So for what? 48, 72 hours, we had garbage trucks idling in front of the Dunkin' Donuts?
To not hear people like you whine and say they should have. Now, I'm not saying you're a whiner, but you know what I mean, Tom. Because if they don't do it, there's going to be people to complain.
Well, I think it kind of where I'm going with this, Frank, is I think when the bleep hits the fan, if we could possibly focus on anything for more than a second, this thing that happened on the South Side yesterday, I'm telling you what, this violence is...
You mean at Looms?
Yes.
Loomis?
Yes. This is.
I've eaten there.
So have I. It was not since
then.
It's been
a demographic that stunned Susan and I when we went in there.
I
asked somebody about it who lived in Beverly, and they go, "Oh, that's the Black Loomis. You don't see that stuff in Atlanta, for example."
It's mostly black, but it's. I've been there, and it's
a wonderful breakfast.
It's a great place. You know, I went there. What the hell's the name of it before? It's got to be like the third name. It was on my mother and my Saturday routes. We go to breakfast every Saturday. That went too off. We went to Carson's in Evergreen Park most of the time. But we had we'd rotate. And that was probably a once every 6-weeker. But it wasn't Looms then. It was something else. And anyway,
it's always been a bit more expensive than other places, but that's what you get for a double yolk.
They also have a little... You know what? They've been cheating on those things lately. All these double yolk joints. They're giving you four medium eggs.
Well, when it's, you know, $12 for a gross of eggs, or what do you pay for eggs now, Tom?
The last time I went... They're all over the block. I usually buy, for those who care, I go to the Restaurant Depot and I get, here's the question, Frank. Would you pay a dollar and a half more for 15 dozen extra large or 12 dozen jumbo? I always get the jumbos because
I'd get the jumbos.
Well, they fit in my fridge. I don't have room for 15. I have room for 12, so I get the jumbos. But I've paid as little as $8.50,
jeez,
and as much as $21.
Sort of like gas was this past week.
Yeah. Well, I haven't paid.
I saw it on the corner of LaGrange and 131st, the go-to cheap place by me. The Shell had a range of $2.59 to $2.19.
Yeah, they snuck
for regular.
Well, but see, now if you're of Italian heritage, Italians are really they take their eggs very seriously. I mean, seriously, and a lucky day is if you get a double yolker. And I used to get out of these jumbos from whatever brand they get, probably 4 to 5 in the dozen. And now I haven't gotten one now in 4 months. So somebody's stealing all the double yolkers. This is bull.
They're probably being exported to China.
Probably. But anybody who hasn't heard this story. At 1:50, when people are out of church, if you can even go to church.
This is 1:50 p.m.
P.m., yeah. This is, and in a place
on a gorgeous.
Yeah, and they put one of those outside.
79, 80 degree day in Chicago.
And because of our governor and mayor, they got an outdoor tent. Somebody pulls up broad daylight and starts gunning people down from the out in broad daylight. This is going to be like the St. Valentine's Day massacre, where all of a sudden everybody's going to say enough. Enough. Mark my words, Frank, and I know you don't want to hear this, but since I'm in the middle, I can see clearly. Clearer, not clearly. This violence keeps up, you're going to see a Trump landslide, an absolute landslide.
Well, and they're making up stuff. Pence, in his convention speech, connected the killing of the Homeland Security guard with the political unrest in Oakland. He was killed by two Boogaloo guys, a far-right wing group.
I'm just saying, right here, female 30, female 32, female 43, male 31 dead, and a male 32 in a hospital. That cannot happen, Frank. That cannot happen.
But the media's complicit, too. I'm saying it should be bigger news. Because can you imagine if this had happened at the International House of Pancakes up in Wilmette? Or at a breakfast joint in Lincoln Square?
This is bad enough here.
Now, people don't care. It was black people that got killed.
I care. They're in the South Side. They're my people.
I give a darn attitude towards this.
You know what? I don't. If you're that... I don't know what people think about. There's always going to be. I had a guy who was in college. We had I don't know what kind of thing we had in University of Chicago, and somebody said something about somebody's walking across the street or whatever the story was, and one of the students asked the question. He goes, "That's a very interesting psychological response. You have no idea how common it is." But you ever hear people say, "Gee, Joe was walking across the Eisenhower, Ida B. Wells, and he got hit by a bus." Gee, was Joe walking against the light? Yeah. Oh, okay. You have to ask the question to separate yourself from how it could not happen to you.
Well, and that makes sense. But I think we have to start becoming... The first way to deal with violence is to at least study it. Maybe admit that... Gosh, could it be guns? And if it is guns, what are we going to do about it?
Well,
so we can't even study yet.
We're not going to. We're going to have to stop the shooters. It's going to be a lot easier to do that than to get rid of 300 million guns in this country. That's not happening, Frank. That ship has sailed.
Australia did it.
We're not Australia. It's not going to happen. The idea that when the entire world is packing. To tell you or me we're going to start with us and you guys can't have a gun. That does not fly. That dog does not hunt. It can't happen. Nobody wants to be, and everybody wants gun permit ownership. You can have a guy who's got a 35 IQ and can't even write, and he's going to say everybody with a 34 or lower shouldn't get a gun. That's just the way people are. I mean, this list here is spectacular. And hey, Jackass, 3300 West. I mean, 1100 West 87th. You know, 66th and Ashland, Englewood. And this is crazed. And but somebody's going to say, if somebody gets whacked down, even downtown at 4 a.m, what's he doing downtown at 4 a.m? Well, he deserves to get shot. Well, I would never be there at 4 a.m, so it couldn't be me. This could have been you in this restaurant, or me.
Oh, wait, now this is one where you or I could go to, and
absolutely.
I mean, I've bought 100 records across the street from it.
You know, it's across the street is Beverly Woods. Remember that place? Every Cub Scout, every banquet we ever had was at the Beverly Woods.
No, I didn't go there, but is Beverly Records there? Is that what they call
something,
it?
Something, yeah, there was a record store there.
Yeah, that was a great record store. You know, up there with Valhalla and Oak Park and the Hegwisch Records. Hegwisch was the best in the city by far.
There's a place on 95th.
Record Mart.
The place out on 95th was pretty good. Tempo. Remember those guys?
Mm. Yep.
Anyway, Frank, how do we've got the Fed doing their thing. Basically, I've never heard anything as dumb in my life as to average your inflation. That's like saying, gee, I was sick for a week. I drink 6 beers a day, so for the next 14 days, I got to drink 12.
I sent you a tongue-in-cheek article. Actually, a pretty good article about the inflation.
I can't even begin to go there. I don't. The numbers I'm looking at, I mean, all the guys, especially all my Hispanic friends, all they do is ask, because they know we do the show, they say, what is with this inflation? Every time I go to the store, it's higher. Every time I go to this, it's higher. I want to look at some trucks, it's higher. What are we doing? I was into Home Depot and Menards this weekend probably 8 times. The prices have just gone to the roof. And there's a supply chain, Frank. So Maddie and Wynn, there's no supply of anything. If you want a color of a paint, they don't have it. And you search like the Menards, you go online and search the stuff. There'll be a store, they'll have 2 quarts. Another store has 4 quarts. Another store has 3 quarts. Somebody's got 1. I drive it to Oakland to buy three quarts of Rust-Oleum. And of course, they're supposed to have five. I get there, they got three. I bought all three. So now, does that mean they're showing two and some other knucklehead's going to go up there and find none or what? But I mean, there's nothing of anything anywhere.
I constantly have that problem. And the prices at Costco are silly, what's happened there. And well, I don't know how it's not reflected in food, because it...
Well, the price of this...
truly is a jewel, too.
For the price of this paint, somebody screwed up and he didn't change the prices on all the colors. So the old price is there, $9.98. The new price is $13.63.
There's no inflation.
No.
It's 2%, Tom.
Yeah, 2%.
And we
can't
even, it.
Yeah, we can't even get to the 2%. We can't even do that. There's a guy who hasn't shopped. When's the last time he shopped, do you think?
Who, me?
No, Paul. You shop all the time.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I think he and Donald went to BJ's Discount. No, those guys don't shop. They have no idea how much anything costs.
No. I mean, why do we continually have... So I go to, where Al's drive-in is on North and Elston.
Yeah.
My guys love the chicken sandwiches there. So I go there, I'm BSing with the guy. And he goes, I swear the guy listens to the show. He's sitting there, he goes, you know, I just seem to think that the guys that we elected, I don't think they know what they're doing. I said, well, you know, it's, to me, it's not so much, I think their heart's probably in the right place. I just think they're incompetent. There's nothing in their background. I mean, you look around and the amount of things that the, Katrina thing they were talking about this weekend. What, it was the 15-year anniversary, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they were saying about how the...
Hey, Brownie, you're doing a good job.
Yeah. They talk about the dike that everybody knew. They kept some reports that the dike was messed up and nobody went and fixed it. I mean, I don't know how you... If you elected Mandy Weber president tomorrow, how do you go after some of this stuff? How many years of...
Put Carl and Kevin on it to begin with.
Well, but look at what happened to our people in the IRS. Over how many years, when somebody says to me, oh, God, it's legal to have, like, all your Starbucks in London and run the price of coffee through Amsterdam where you got, like, one Starbucks and all the profits in Amsterdam. How did the IRS, what manner of idiots do we have there that somehow... That was made okay, Frank. They all get hired by the firm.
That wasn't the IRS. That was our Congress.
No, it's not.
It's the lobbyists.
No, it's... Well,
I mean, we can talk about the NRA as if it's a bunch
those
of people.
Are, Frank, those
that
are...
We have guns, but it's gun companies.
No, it's not.
You can go through action group after action
group. I'm talking
group,
about...
It's all corporate or,
talking
you
about
know, 0.1% related.
None of this stuff...
Disgusting.
You remind me of Dr. J. I had the same argument with him. Nowhere in the tax code... Nowhere can you point me to the page that says, by the way, if you want to lower your taxes, have all your stores in London and run them through Amsterdam. It doesn't say that. Somebody decided to do it and they got away with it. And the IRS let them get away with it. And then once it became policy for one person, everybody else went and did it. And the same people, because I know some of these guys, the same people that took one company offshore, once they got away with it after 2 years of fighting with the IRS, first thing they did was knock on the next guy's door. I knew some people. There was a $350,000 program at one of the big firms to take a bank to take a bank offshore. That was the turnkey thing for the whatever you needed in Bermuda and some other place. That's what they. I'm sure the profit was $150,000. You need lawyers here. You need trusts there. You need this. Then it became a turnkey thing. Once you rammed it through the idiots the first time. Now did they have to hire those guys at the company when they retired and had their pension or I mean, what was the quid pro quo? Because it's not quote legal, Frank. It's considered it got through once, and then they just piled on. So yes, it's been going on, and nobody's fought against it. Nobody said your transfer price is wrong, and by the way, you're going to jail. It just became practice. But it's not in the no congressman ever said we'd love to have this happen.
Hmm.
You think?
I remember I took a tax course. Gosh, that was thrilling.
Oh, yeah.
Back in my MBA days, and I remember the first thing said to me was, in the class, was, tax evasion is a felony, tax avoidance is a virtue.
Oh, I have no problem with that. I mean, what I'm saying is, for instance,
we blurred the line.
If for instance, we got a bazillion new sponsors, okay, and Stocks and Jacks is getting $1 million of advertising every year, and Manny and I are still drawing nothing, right? So we could put, now Thomas would be up there for this in a second. We could put Thomas down in Bermuda, right?
Uh-huh.
And we would flip, we could take the name, which of course is copyright, Stocks and Jacks, and we take the name and we get Stocks and Jacks office in Bermuda, or Bahamas, or whatever damn place you want. And we'll throw Thomas down there. We probably could even get away with him not even being there, but say he's down there. And once a week, he calls up and says, gee, we should have Frank on Monday. He's our consultant down there. So we decided that we're going to send, that's our consulting office, and we're going to pay those idiots, or that one office, not Thomas, is an idiot, he's not, $900,000 a year, and send it down there. Okay, when all our listeners are here, we're here, the office is here, I'll bet we get away with that. You can't tell me a congressman envisioned that when he wrote the law.
No, but you could tell me that a lobbyist or their lawyer or their accounting heavyweight had that as an end, you know, a possible goal.
Here's what I think happened.
A possible end result.
Here's what I think happened, Frank, is that the IRS allowed it to happen. They said, well, you can transfer price how you feel like it. And that consulting from that unit, if you want to say, or it's simple, we would pay rent, which is what the drug companies do. We would pay rent to the name, so we would have a royalty to the name Stocks and Jacks, so we just pay that $900,000 a year. So all of a sudden, all our income is now, well, $100,000's here and $900,000's there. So the IRS foolishly allows us to go through, whether we're taking them out, whether we're getting them hookers, who the hell knows, but or we just talk them through it. So then somebody, some congressman says this is wrong. That's when the lobbyists jump in. Because now that congressman has to get.
Okay.
That guy has to get, what, 213 people, or what, how many, 435? He's got to get 218 people to agree with him. And that's when the lobbyists fly into action, I think, is the way it works. Matt, do you think I'm right on that or not? It's not the original thing. The original thing is with the IRS. And somehow they allowed it to happen. Now, who are these people? How inept are they? Why would you ever say that when all the listeners are in the U.S., well, we've got a few from Australia and Britain, so, I mean, we could get away with, you know, $50,000 a year maybe, but not 900. But, I mean, at some point, when do you say, well, this is crazy? Look at the advantage these places have. We're down to 7% of the federal taxation as corporations. And look at the size of these places, Frank. They used to be 17 20 years ago. They're down to 7.
And they still export all the transfer is the correct term, I guess.
Well, they're still whining, and they think it should be. By the way, the tax law that Trump put together to supposedly bring this money back, it's easier to keep it overseas now than it was before.
Wait, I got to take a break to be surprised.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So anyway, what do you?
How's your health plan now? Is it better? Never mind.
Medicare, but, yeah, Medicare is fine.
Right now, we have 175,000 people in Illinois who have lost health care.
Yeah,
since June 1st.
Yeah, it's pretty. You know, I've been reading this.
That's the sort of stuff we should be talking about: is access to health care.
Well, absolutely,
and health delivery. Why aren't we talking about that?
Because we're absolutely blinded. It's like taking a drink through a fire hydrant, Frank. You can't focus because you're getting buffeted about by what's happening. This morning I was looking at, or last night, I was going through some of the coronavirus stats. And now everybody, and I listen to Channel 9 News and Channel 7, and these people aren't dumb people, but they're just reading what they're reading. And they're talking about the case positive test rate is now 4.2%, and how this is a big problem. It should be under 4. Now, Frank, Matty was just telling me last week, Matty teaches me a lot, he doesn't know it. Why would you ever look at a number that is totally outside of your control as something you should do something about?
Or a number that somebody, they talk openly about, if we do this, then this bad number will not be occurring. Come on.
But just as if, I mean, for anybody who's wonders what the hell I'm talking about, like people always do. If 1,000 people decide to get off their behind on a nice Sunday and go get a test, and 960 of them are fine, that leaves 4%, right?
Mm-hmm.
40 of them are at least 4%. But you have no control over why or wherefore 1,000 people show up. If the only people that showed up were the people that had symptoms and had it, would still be the same 40, right? But now your number would be 100%. Are things any worse? You don't have as many, I won't say losers, but any people that feel fine in line getting a test. Well, how does that number tell you anything?
Once again, I'd like to recommend the classic tome, How to Lie with Statistics.
But
you either mess with the numerator or the denominator.
But Manny,
what'd
you tell me on Thursday about that friend of yours who's giving a test?
She works at the place on Ashland and Fullerton that a lot of people are probably familiar with. They crank out 700 tests a day and have been basically since late March or early April. And she said very rarely does someone test positive. 70-80% of them are just negative tests and people just coming in not even feeling sick. But they felt like they had to get tested to go see family or friends. Or a work thing or whatever. They were told they needed to get tested before they could do something. And so, yeah, 70-80% of the people are not sick at all. And then of the 20% that have symptoms, very low positive rate is what she's seeing day to day. But people are still testing positive every day.
So if all of a sudden they get a date, it's 105, and she doesn't want to be standing out there, and half the people decide to stay home that have no symptoms, and that 4% jumps to 8, now is that all of a sudden a problem?
Well, you got to look at the curve. But, yeah, it's a problem if you look at one day.
I really don't like this idea of overworking these people.
No.
The whole point of flattening the curve was always to protect the workers. Well, if they're doing maximum capacity testing every day, I mean, are we really protecting the workers?
No.
We're not doing anything we say we're doing. S&P Futures.
And everybody's lying to us. It doesn't matter who they are.
S&P Futures up 10, NASDAQ Futures up 43. We were up more last night, but we're still up. We'll be right back. Stacks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, including 4 past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is now available to you. We are offering 3 of our research newsletter: the Daily World News Report, our daily stock and futures trading recommendations, and our twice weekly top 3 tiers of recommended stocks, including potential shorts. Each of these reports are available via email before the market opens. Go to our website, www.dacsresearch.net, to obtain the tool that meets your trading and investment needs. Or call me and get 2 weeks free with a 1 month subscription. 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures trading have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI ProDirect can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI ProDirect. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Well, welcome back to Stocks and Giants. I'm Tom Howell, Mr. Bell Weber on the board. S&P futures up 975. Now NASDAQ futures up 44.50. Dow futures up 61. That would seem very positive, except for the fact it was like up 23 when I went to bed last night. So we were up about 6 when we opened last night. Then we went flying up, and now we're about halfway back. So I don't know what necessarily that means. I'm going to take it as just we're just up. DAX up 65.5%. FTSE down 36.6%. You know what? I don't think they're trading today. The FTSE, I think, is closed. His last trade was Friday, so scratch that on the FTSE. CAC around up 34.7%. Don't know why Britain would be closed, but I think they are. Nikkei up 257. That's 1.1%. Shanghai down 8.2%. Hang Seng down 245. That's a full 1%. So Nikkei and the Hang Seng going opposite directions. Just as a review, on Friday, the Dow was up 161. S&P were up 23. NASDAQ up 70. So it was a good day on Friday. The upside. The 10-year bond, 0.74, so it's creeping up a little bit here. The bund, minus 0.38, it's under 0.40, negative. Japan, a positive 0.05. Oil, up today, we've got 0.48, that's 1.1%, trading 43.45. Ran up 58 cents, 46.39. Natural gas, 261, down 4 cents. Probably because some of the heat has subsided just a bit on the southwest. RBOB 132, so that's kind of unchanged. Gold down in dollars, 1973. Silver up 45 cents, and copper up 3 cents at 305. And I really kicking myself for not really pushing to get long this copper about 275 when it was creeping. But it's been the march of a thousand cuts, man. It's like 2 cents a day. It hasn't really had a rally. It just creep. What do you got for us, traffic, weather, sports?
38 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. Off to a good start so far on the area expressways, roadways, and tollways. Looks like no delays coming in on the Edens or Kennedy right now. So that's good news if you're coming in from the north side. Eisenhower is looking good, as is the Stevenson. Southside expressways have been quiet all morning, too. So we're looking at a nice commute, except for one issue to report down south on 8094. There's a crash on the eastbound side at Burnham Avenue right before the Indiana border. So keep that in mind if you're heading eastbound toward Indiana on 8094. You'll run into a slowdown there at Burnham. But everything else is looking good out there. Weather today, a beautiful day here in the late August, the last day of August, August 31st today. Partly cloudy skies, a high of 84, low humidity. Right now it's clear and 67 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, sunny and very pleasant. A high of 100 in Phoenix today. They can deal with that. Right now it's clear and 77. In sports, the White Sox took 2 of 3 from Kansas City after a walk-off winner in 10 last night. Luis Robert came up with 2 on and belted a 3-run homer to lift the White Sox past the Royals 5-2. The White Sox are tied atop the AL Central in first place. We'll get to the standings here in just a second and have won 8 out of 10. Cubs salvaged a 4-game split, 2-2 with Cincinnati, blowing out the Reds yesterday, 10-1. The Cubs did something that no major league team has ever done before, Chief. Their starting outfielders each hit multi-homers in the same game yesterday. Schwarber had 2 home runs, Ian Happ had 2 home runs, and Jason Hayward had 2 home runs all in the same game as the Cubs slugged their way past the Reds 10-1.
How did it happen? How did it go from hasn't happened in 65 years to never happened?
I think it was, depending on how they framed the stat, what I read was all 3 starting outfielders to have multi-homers in the same game hadn't happened before. But let me double check that just to be sure, but that's what I read.
Well, still, it's pretty unusual.
Yeah, very unusual. But I read a different stat that, I don't know if it was 2 home runs, I don't know. Anyway, we'll get clarity on that, but that's what I read. Still a very rare occurrence, something I certainly don't remember ever happening. Diamondbacks lost to the Giants 4-1. So as we take our Monday morning look at the Major League Baseball standings, Cubs are in first place in the NL Central, 20-14. They're 3.5 up on St. Louis, 4.5 up on Milwaukee. As I mentioned, the White Sox are now tied atop the AL Central, 21-13 with Cleveland. They're a game and a half up on the Minnesota Twins. And the Diamondbacks are really struggling after a decent start. They're now 14-21, last place in the NL West. John Rahm won the BMW Championship yesterday, Chief. I don't know if you watched that.
I watched it. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, he got into a one-hole playoff at 4-under with Dustin Johnson, who was heavily favored, and birdied the hole and beat Dustin Johnson in the one-hole
playoff.
Did you
see it?
I did not.
He came in, he was playing ahead of everybody else. So he comes in and he, why don't you finish up and I'll tell you.
Sure. Last thing to report and sad news as we saw Hall of Fame coach Lute Olson passed away on Friday at age 85. Now another Hall of Fame coach passed away, it looks like last night. John Thompson, legendary basketball coach at Georgetown and former player for Boston Celtics, passed away at age 78.
Gee. I saw him out in Vegas. Big man. Huge guy. He's 6'8", 6'9", big
dude. Oh, yeah, yeah. And obviously coached some great players. Everyone remembers Patrick Ewing team, coached Alonzo Mourning, coached Allen Iverson. A lot of big-time players came through Georgetown. Mutombo.
He had some guys on that team that were, I'm going to say, questionable. Yeah, Chad, how are you?
Yeah. I'm good, and you?
I'm good up here. I was going to give Matty some story about the golf thing, but I still can't believe when they had Ewing and those guys. Now, I think Patrick Ewing was a real guy. He was a student in the whole bit, and he graduated, right? I believe. And then most of the guys on that team. Remember that freshman they had that was unreal. I mean, they got him out of. He reminded me of Ricky, whatever his name is, in the major league. They got him out of something penal. I don't think the kid ever went to. He never came back anywhere near a basketball court after his freshman year when they went to the finals. That was that kid's name, but he was like, nobody messed with him. I don't know how old he was or whatever the story was there. Anyways, Olympia Fields, anybody who's never played it, it is a spectacular golf course. And these guys, anytime you start getting 7,300 yards, par 70, well, it was pretty windy, I guess, the 3 days before and very dry. And then the leader was what, 1 under or even or something after 3 rounds? All of a sudden, it got a little, I guess, better, or they watered the greens or did something. All of a sudden, guys are making some birdies, and this guy, what's his name, the guy who won it, he ends up, he shoots like a 64 or something. That's with on Saturday, he just picked, did you see the brain fart? He went to mark his ball, and he just picked up the ball. He forgot to mark it. I don't think I've ever done that, Matty. Have you?
No, never.
And he picked it up, and all of a sudden he like looks down. He still got the mark in his hand and the look on his face. Well, they gave him a 1-stroke penalty, which I thought it would be more than that, but they gave him 1-stroke penalty. So he ends up he's ahead by 1, and the 18th hole is pretty tough. So what's his name? Johnson hits his drive in the rough, And he's got like, you know, it's of course it's buried. You and I couldn't get it out of there. And these guys are, it's not that bad of a lie. So he whacks the thing out of there like 180 yards, but he couldn't go to the, toward the pin. So he's sort of in the middle of the green up in the back. And his green just slopes down. And it's like, you know, it's like a Himalayan mountain down. So the guy has to hit it to where it like dies on this little ridge. And you got to get it just over the ridge. Then it starts picking up steam and it goes the rest by itself. And he's 40 some feet away. So he whacks the thing. It gets to the top. And he's thinking, God, the guy screwed it up. It's going to stop halfway. And all of a sudden, starts rolling. Goes down, breaks like twice, and hits dead amidships into the hole. So he gets his birdie. Meanwhile, the other guy, the guy who won, Rahm, he's over on the practice tee by himself, you know, whacking wedge shots. So they go back to the 18th hole. And now, what's his name? Johnson. He hits, his tee shot's not very good. But he lucks out. And he whacks it totally to the right. It hits a tree and comes back in the fairway, but way short. The other guy's in the rough. So Johnson puts his maybe left of the pin, but still now it's even tougher putt if that's possible, and he's like 40 feet away. Well, then the guy, Rahm, hits his way the hell up in the back, probably 20 feet further than the one Johnson just made. So he's like 65 feet away. So they're going, they go up and the two guys go, this is going to be the toughest two-putt in his life to try and get a par here in Ty right. Johnson. So he hits the thing, like, dead, maybe, I'm going to say not directly sideways, but maybe a 20-degree angle sideways. To right, like, 25 feet on top of the hole, the thing turns right, all of a sudden it goes down, takes the exact same route that Johnson's had done, and goes in the hole. So then Johnson leaves his 6 inches off.
Oh, my God.
It was unbelievable. Unbelievable. And anyway, it was pretty neat to watch. But the so did you happen to see the play in the second game on Saturday, where the guy thought he hit the foul ball and didn't, and the Cubs got the double play out of nowhere?
I did not see that. I did watch bits and pieces of both games on Saturday, but I didn't see it that closely.
So I mean, I was listening on the radio, and they're having trouble because they're doing the radio not from the ballpark. They're having trouble with those kinds of plays.
Oh, yeah. The radio calls are not nearly as crisp as they normally are because they can't see everything.
Right. Well, somehow this guy hits one and he thought it was foul. He thought it hit him in the foot or whatever he thought. It goes dribbling down the first baseline. So the guy in first is heading to second. He turns around and he's walking back. And then Rizzo picks up the ball and the guy in the box isn't running and finally says, hey, this thing must be fair. He wings it to second and they wing it back to get a double play out of nowhere. I don't think I've ever seen that, where both guys knew nobody ran.
Yeah.
And
by the way, I'm reading, like I said, first time ever on the first sentence of, in USA Today here. With one massive drive in the ninth inning, Kyle Schwarber made history for the Cubs. Schwarber, Hayward, and Happ become the first starting outfield to hit multiple homers in the same game.
Wow. Wonder what the first shot was 65 years ago. Something happened.
Yeah.
It might have been three different people made homers, multiple homers in the same game.
Could be.
Boy, Schwarber really whacked that last one, didn't he?
Yeah, good grand slam.
Oh, God. So anyway, I'm just looking at this, you know, Trump's executive order about these, you know, I sent you guys the thing yesterday about the health care. They're now going to do, last week was the plasma. And now what's the story this week? They're going to try and do something we talked about. Oh, they decided, and this, you know, cover your ears if you want, but we've had how many times, man, it had to be 12 weeks ago. I talked about the lady who was on CNBC, and then I saw her somewhere else. It says, if you want to test, see how much COVID is in an area, instead of having people lining up in their cars and giving you some kind of percentage, all you do is check the untreated sewage, which is not really the job I'd want. And now the University of Arizona is testing the untreated sewage out of every dorm. And if they see any COVID in the sewage, then they're testing the people in the dorm. If not, they're not. Of course, I guess you would need a law that says you could only go to the can in your own dorm, or else you could kind of screw the whole system
right.
up. But anyway,
you need a pass.
You need a pass. But I'm, you know, but you see stuff that makes some common sense. But I was looking at this Trump thing and about the. And I was wrong 2 weeks ago by it. By the way, I admit when I am. Maddie, remember we were having a debate about whether the payroll tax thing was a deferral or you just didn't have to pay? And I thought the first blush was that was a deferral for the company, but you got a pass as an individual. And if one thing we should have learned in this COVID by now, I mean, Janet, tell me if I'm wrong. For the people who shut the place down on St. Patrick's Day for 15 days, let's just say this thing is extending. Correct? Is that a fair statement? That
we, yeah.
And now we're canceling conventions next year. Well, this plan says that from September 1st to December 1st, people that are working don't have to pay their payroll taxes, which is your Medicare, your Social Security, and unemployment, right, Jen? There's three of them, correct?
Yeah.
But then starting January 1st, you got to double up to pay it back. Well, if you do that and you come to January 1st and somehow or another we're in the same bleep hole position we are now, can you imagine having people doubling up then, Jen?
Well, they're either going to shut down or let half of their staff go. I mean, how are they going
to
support that?
But now you brought up yet another. What if you and I are working merrily at wherever, Matty Weber's barbecue joint, and we don't pay our payroll tax for the next 4 months? Now all of a sudden we're obligated to double up, and Matty closes and lays us all off. Now, do we have to pay that money even if we're not working, or is it where does that go? We obviously have a liability someplace. Do we get to put it off if we're not working?
It's probably going to follow you wherever you go, like, you know, just like an IRS lien. But I don't. You know, when will that ever come
right
back? You know, that money. This might be deferred forever just because people aren't going to pay it. And if you don't have a business anymore, if you shut down, there's nothing to attach a lien to.
Well, the individual, you're there.
Residence or something, but that's just going to be a quagmire.
I think it's a really awful idea, to be honest with you. Either forgive it or don't. When's the last time
reduce it, or, you know, suspend some of it, or have some kind of a formula for certain size businesses so that you don't just get this you know, whack across the head for the foreseeable future. That's just unsustainable for a lot of places.
Well, what makes anybody think right now that come January, of course, the next headline here, I'm reading these headlines, and boy, oh boy, it's just like, this is too much for Monday morning. They're going to try, FDA willing to fast-track vaccine before phase 3 trials end. We wouldn't do that to a dog, would we?
No.
Especially the dogs we like. I mean,
even the ones we don't like.
Even the ones we don't like. I mean, we can't be seriously going to do that, are we?
I sure hope not. That's frightening.
Yeah.
That's really frightening to me.
I have a horrible nursing home story. One of my friends, actually his brother, made a schedule to go see the mother. And they wheel her out and they go, "What's wrong with Mom?" "Well, she's been nonverbal for a week." "Did you call anybody?" "Nope." This is one of these $7,000 a month joints, Jen. The idea that nobody gets to go see their elderly relatives, I can't believe that's happening. That to me is about as bad as shooting up a restaurant. I mean, I can't imagine I'd go grab my mom and get her out of there. There's no way I'm going to not be able to see her and not have an advocate, not know what anybody's doing to her. And if she's sick, they can't call a doctor or won't call me. How does anybody even think of that? You can't go see somebody in a hospital or nursing home. I mean, find a way. Or is that just me being old and grumpy?
Or if there's been a change in somebody's conditions, that you would certainly want to be notified in the middle of the night if something went wrong, and not to tell somebody. This person's become nonverbal. That's the kind of warning sign everybody would want to know immediately.
So we have China's reporting that they have banks that are down billions of dollars of people not paying debts. We think we mentioned that a few times. China's mega banks lost billions of dollars in profit. Now the implication. Now what is this? This is bad English, Jen. I think you taught English. China's mega banks lost billions of dollars in profit as bad loans rise during coronavirus pandemic. Now, am I supposed to believe that they just made less profit? Now, how do you lose billions in profit. You either lost or you didn't.
Right.
Did you come out negative or... See, that's the difference between a somebody who's been a trader versus like a Reinsdorf. You know, I'm just saying. Not that he isn't a trader, hasn't traded things in his life, but a trader is when you start the day with, hopefully, $900,000 in your account and you walk out with $875,000, you lost money, right?
Pretty clear cut.
Pretty clear cut. But now, if you're Reinsdorf and you say, I think if I'd have gone to Toronto, I'd have made more money than I'm making here with the Sox. So therefore I'm losing. No, no, that's not losing.
Right, that's not lost expectation. That's just... But that's what some people do think.
When are we going to have a big article? And Matt, do you think in any newspaper day, do we have any reporter that's got the stones? Of course, there aren't any newspapers anymore, really. To write an article saying, this is the year that the White Sox lease has come home to roost. I bet they're the only team in baseball that's not paying a lease.
I love when you brought that up and Josh Nelson started laughing because he actually knows about that.
Yeah.
And he enjoyed that because no one else even knows about that, let alone talks about it.
Thank you, Big Jim.
Big Jim's legacy, really.
Yeah. So if they don't have
kind of, I think, bad teams, you know.
They only have to pay if they go over 1 million people, right?
Right.
Or is it 1.1 million, something like that.
And here they got to, you know, knockout team, but you can't go to the park, so it's perfect.
I have a question for you, though. The debt is being repaid by the 0.5% tax on booze and food downtown. What do you suppose that revenue is down?
Oh, man. Negligible.
It's got to be nothing. I mean, it's got to be... I think it's even 10% of what it was, Manny?
I don't. No,
it can't be. I don't think.
No one's going to lunch. No one's getting coffee. No one's getting happy hour drinks after work. At least not in the financial and loop area. Now, if you're a little bit north, like in River North, those places seem to be bouncing back a little bit. But yeah, it's desolate down here. I mean, there's no one down here.
Maybe see if you can find what's the name of that tax, Jan? It's the is it the something Pier and Exposition or White State? What do they call it? Is it the Stadium Authority? Let's see if you can find the boundaries.
Yeah, the McPier. It's the immediate area around the downtown area taxed at the higher rates to support the convention shows.
This is specifically for Sox Park.
Oh yeah, that's.
It's something Stadium Authority. I thought. Illinois
Stadium Authority. It's not even, I don't think it has Chicago in the name, which is also kind of a way of dodging the bullet so Chicagoans don't think they're the only ones getting dinged for it.
Because I'd be curious to know if it goes to North Avenue or Chicago. I bet it goes at least to Halstead.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, I know when you go to the, what's the series? The tax on beverages in the series, what, 11 and a half?
Yeah.
By the time you get downtown?
Yeah, in 2018 was the 30th anniversary of the Illinois General Assembly passing a bill to publicly fund the construction of a new baseball stadium for the Chicago White Sox. And Illinoisans are still paying the price today. So I'll read through this here and see if I can get the rest
of the name. Didn't Josh say that he thought
Illinois Sports Facilities Authority, ISFA.
Yeah. Do you believe in the midst of, I don't want to say anything nasty here, but he happens to be...
Governor Jim Thompson and Chicago Mayor Harold Washington. Collaborated on drafting the measure.
Well, he happens to be African-American, the new hiree. I don't know if this makes any difference. I mean, it shouldn't. But I wonder, in the midst of all this mess, you know who's pushing huge for a new stadium? I was stunned when I heard it. The Balls, basically.
Who?
The Washington Redskins.
Oh, really? Snyder?
Yeah, well, but no, he hired this... high-powered black dude to be his new GM. So the same thing happened here with the Bears. I mean, Daly couldn't stand McCaskey, so he hired Ted Phillips, and Phillips cut the deal. So they want to do is they want to go back to where they were and tear down RFK and build some huge thing there, which is fairly close to the Nationals, where the Nationals play. They're going to walk the first day they can out of this guy in Maryland. Was it 20 years? The first day they can, they're leaving those guys with an empty stadium like Pontiac.
God. God.
Do these guys, the nerve of these people is outstanding, isn't it, Jack? I'm amazed. The thought that somebody builds me a stadium and I give them a 20-year lease renewable, and the second I can walk out, I can get somebody else to build me one. I can't even.
Well, and the extortion scheme on the fans. If you don't give this to us, we're taking our team to Sarasota or any place else. Nobody's going to go and support them. But it's all just smoke and mirrors. And people, you know, swallow it, unfortunately. And you get, you know, the next three or four generations saddled with an impossible debt. The average person really doesn't get anything from. All they get is a hole in their pocket from it. It's just unbelievable to me.
Our buddy Howard, who's real tight with the gang up in Minnesota, said that when the North Stars left, and then they ended up years later, doing whatever they could to get a new team back in there, he said the difference between what the North Stars wanted to stay, what they ended up paying for the new team, they should have just given the door to the North Stars. I mean, it's like 10-1. I mean, how much they ended up paying for the new guy. What's the new team's called, Manny?
Minnesota Wild.
The Wild, yeah. I mean, didn't they have been all building up a stadium and everything?
I assume so, yeah.
But the other guys are what? Now they're the Dallas. They're just the Stars.
Just the Stars. Not the North Stars, yeah.
Okay, well.
Yeah, they originally were the Dallas Lone Stars, and then it's just the Stars now.
Oh, God. SP Futures now only up 7.25. NASDAQ Futures up 33.25. Individual stocks, pretty much everybody in the Dow is up, except for Microsoft, down 450. I don't know what's going on there. We'll be right back, Stocks and Jacks. Walmart's down 4 as well.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, owner of Home Source Realty and frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks radio show. If you're thinking about purchasing real estate this summer, could be a good time to shop around. Whether you're a novice or seasoned investor, low interest rates and a good inventory make adding bricks and mortar investment to your portfolio an interesting possibility. Many a great fortune has begun with the purchase of property. Call me today for your personal investment consultation, and I would be happy to get you started on your path to prosperity. You can reach me at AudreyJohnson@Realtor.com or call me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
nothing happening here.
Well, I'm up against Stacks and Jacks. I'm Tom Holly. He's Mr. Redwater on the board. SP Futures up 750 now. NASDAQ Futures up 3650. They're up 10 we came in. They're up 23 last night. Two big clunkers in the Dow. Matter of fact, the only real clunkers in the Dow are Microsoft down 451, and Walmart is down 380. They're the latest participants in this. I'll be perfectly blunt with you, gentlemen. I have not. Well, there's been some pretty wacky deals in my age, my years in the industry, but these ones back and forth with China, I can't value these things at all. I don't know what this TikTok does all that much. And now China's saying that you can have the company, but you can't have the intellectual property or something? The ByteDance, walk me through this, Matty. ByteDance owns TikTok, correct? And nobody likes ByteDance because TikTok gets all this information from people here. They're going to force ByteDance to sell it or they're going to shut it down. That's the idea. So now Trump has been brokering deals to various of the companies he likes, it appears. And he wants a cut. I don't know about personally. I'm sure he wouldn't turn it down, but or give it to the kids. He wants a cut of the deal because people are getting it for cents on the dollar, he thinks, because they're going to put them under otherwise. Now ByteDance is just sitting there not knowing what to do, evidently. So now China comes out and says, by the way, that we consider this Chinese intellectual property, how the thing works, the gizmos, and we have to approve that sale. So you can have the company, but you can't know how it works or something along those lines. I don't know. So where does that put it? So Microsoft and Walmart, which I have no idea why they're involved, they came up as partners in the bidding against, was Apple first, right? Was it Apple?
I think it was Apple, yeah.
And so now all of a sudden, whoever gets them might get this shell. Can you write fiction like this, Jan? I mean, first of all, Matty, what do these guys do? I mean, how do they have 100 million people? I never heard of them. Well, that's easy. I don't hear anything about it.
Well, you have heard of them.
Well, I have heard of them, yeah.
So I've never been on their platform, so I'm not the authority on this by any means. But for a lot of high school and college age people in 20s or whatever, it's a new sort of social media platform that specializes in short videos where they have cool, I guess, editing features where you can very quickly and very seamlessly make a funny, clip-oriented type video and post it. And a lot of people like it. They like the functionality of it, and they make these short, 10, 15-second comedic videos, which is not new. You can do that on Instagram. You could do that, on Vine, if you remember Vine. You could do that on Snapchat. But apparently this particular platform and editing ability gives you different functionality that's cool and interesting and fun, and it kind of blew up and people really like it and make these videos off of it. But apparently it's very insecure and it gets hacked into all the time, and it's sucking people's private information from them.
And why would you have private information on the thing, or just they use that to get to the rest of your stuff?
I assume so. Yeah, I assume that they have the ability because it's built so insecurely to hack into your other stuff that maybe is important. That's what I know at a high level. I'm sure we have listeners that could give a much better breakdown, but that's what I know.
So they're trying to get rid of this. They're trying to essentially move this to the next person here in the U.S. saying, we're going to shut you down if you don't sell it. And now all of a sudden China's saying, well, you can sell it, but you're not getting any good stuff. So Walmart and Microsoft, which had gone up based on getting this item of value for cents on the dollar, now are going back down, at least this morning, for a little while. We'll see where that all lands. But you got your scorecards ready? Get your, what they used to say, Pat Piper? You ever hear him? He was dead by the time you arrived, right, Mitty?
Yeah, I don't know him. He was announced that what track?
No, he was the Cub guy. When you got there, they didn't play the national anthem in those days, during the weekdays. So Pat Piper would give you the who's going to be up next, and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Now pitching, and then he'd start the day. Get your pencils and scorecards ready.
It's called a public address announcer.
Yeah, get your pencils and scorecards ready.
Yes.
And he'd start the thing, and then when he was done, he'd just go play ball. That was it. No, none of the other stuff, and away you'd go. It was a simpler time, Eddie. What can I say?
Back when people used to keep score.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When was the last time you did that?
I used to do it when I was
12 the last time I did one.
I think I was probably 12 also. I used to do, well, not counting softball, but yeah, I used to keep score a lot when I was a kid.
Well, I mean, if you really know how to do it, but I never got to the, I mean, there were softball leagues where the first night they'd walk around and give everybody like a brand new scorebook. You know, that was part of the initiation fee. And, you know, if you do it right, when these guys will go, it's a line drive to, you know, a base hit, line drive to short left, you actually would draw on the thing a little line showing where it landed in the outfield.
God, it's like shorthand.
Oh, God, yeah. Beautiful. Yeah, to do it properly is a real big deal.
Yeah, it's an art. It really,
yeah, it's
is.
A total is an art. And, cause you can go back, if you didn't, my penmanship's so horrible, you could go back 20 years and guys would pull out their scorecards and still be able to read them. Of course, I could, and you always, the reason why you did them in pencil is because the ink would run in the rain, where pencil won't, evidently. How scary is that? When was the last time you used a pencil, man?
Golf course every day.
Oh, there you go. You get the little, and, I could see you, I'm just gonna ask a simple question. Do you have an eraser on your golf scorecard? Pencil.
whatever comes with it. Some of them do have an eraser.
Some do, yeah. You gotta worry about those.
Yes.
Unbelievable. You see those guys were whacking, 6 irons on their second shot in a 605 yard hole.
It's crazy.
The equipment is just so, what do you suppose would happen if they dropped off a dozen Titleists or Spalding Dots from like 1972 and say you got to use these?
I still think they can murder those. But I don't know. Are they gaining 10 yards, 12 yards, 20 yards? Well, I don't know.
I'm going to say 50. Easy.
I mean, if you combine the club, the strength, the fact that the guys are stronger now, and the ball, if you combine all of that, maybe it is 50. I don't know. But you said just the ball. I think it's
most of it's the ball.
I think it's a combination of guys are monsters now, one. Two, their clubs are so much better. And three, the balls are so much better.
I actually read, where did I see this? Somebody had a big study on one of the stations. And they went back, you know, since there's been TV. And they went back and found out, you know, this, you know, the guys now are better. They work out more. They're a little bit, But
all these guys are like, yeah, all these guys are workout freaks. Not all of them. There's still a couple throwbacks, but 99% of them now are all freaks.
But they had two or three guys from the 50s. They had the highest club head speed of anybody, even including these guys. They had some big dudes back then to get the ball too. But they said the club.
I would say that is complete BS. There's no possible way.
Man, there's always been.
No, there has been, yes. I know, but in every sport, the people just evolved. I mean, it's just, that would just not be consistent with anything else.
But golf's not football. I mean, it's all about.
I'm just saying, the people are just, it's their full-time job now, and we talk about this all the time. There's just no way a guy, I mean, yes, there are exceptions. I'm sure there's some guys that hit the crap out of the ball, but I just don't buy it.
Well, I think what the difference is that now everybody can.
Well, I think that's a huge difference. But yeah, I think the best of the best today are hitting it 50 yards farther. Now, part of that, like you said, is the equipment, no doubt. But part of that is these guys are just monsters.
The first
guys didn't even used to lift weights. Golfers didn't even used to lift weights in my lifetime. Until Tiger came in and guys like that, and all that were like, wow, they changed the courses for Tiger, yeah. For God's sake.
But I mean, you can't. What other game do you get to, use essentially your own equipment?
Right. No, that's, well, like NASCAR, I guess.
Yeah. But I mean, yeah, the idea of you being a punter and walking out on the field with your new football where you hit the thing out of the stadium. I mean,
no, that is true.
But anyway, Jack Nicklaus said in those days, he said the longest hitters could distance themselves from the field. He says, now you really can't. Because all these guys, well, I mean, there's guys that are a little further, but God, that one guy who came in like third or fourth. What is that guy, 150 pounds on a bad day, and he's hitting the snot out of the ball? I mean, that's a lot of that's equipment. Because I guarantee that dude's no stronger than Gary Player. Because Gary Player was one of the first massive fitness guys. He was, he was 90 push-ups twice a day in his fingertips or something. Can you do that many?
No, not a chance. I try to do a lot of push-ups, and I actually, that's my preferred sort of workout for chest and shoulders and everything. But on my fingertips that many, no way.
Yeah, he was anyway, so Jan, we started out talking to Frank a little bit about this shooting on the south side. I go by the garbage trucks ready to stop the riots. City is flat ass broke, and we got all these guys sitting there making, I assume, at least time and a half an hour. How many guys do we have this weekend like that? 100?
Well, you know, that's kind of the price we paid, I think, for not being more diligent early on in this. And, you know, it kind of emboldened people to plot, plan, whatever, and, take by surprise the police and every store owners and everybody else. And had there been a stronger response the first weekend, I don't think we'd have to be looking at this kind of alternative now, where you got, garbage trucks on watch, on Sunday mornings. And, I'm not saying that they shouldn't have them and that they're not, an impressive way of, short-circuiting disturbances, but this is the last thing we can afford in times like these. So it was interesting listening to Frank, too, and when you were talking about that pancake house, because I have been there, too, not recently, but I know that area well, and Beverly Woods that you mentioned, that's where both of my parents, we had their funeral luncheons for.
Yeah.
It's near Mount Olivet Cemetery, and I have many graduation dinners and, wedding receptions, all this stuff. I know that area quite well, and to see it invaded by that kind of event. It happened in my neighborhood here Friday night, too. I watched a guy die out on the sidewalk around the corner from me in a gang shooting. There's been a series of events leading up to this, so it wasn't totally a surprise to anybody. But when it happens, 200 feet from my front door, and I'm the one calling the police when I hear the shots, and you go out and watch the events unfold, and the police and the paramedics come, and the investigation that follows, and all that, it now really brings you up short.
If I could get you
a lot of people around here,
if I could get you one of those, I could get two: one for you, one for me. Maddie doesn't want one. We can go get the rifleman rifle with the big, what do you call it, the big thingy, the big circular, whatever part of the gun that is, and we'll put the little nut on there just like he did. So you go out there, and whenever you pull it up, it'll fire. Bang, bang, bang. You could actually be the enforcer for the hood.
The thing is, I'm two blocks from the 17th District headquarters.
Yeah.
It's my polling place. Big police presence, not that far away. There were two shootings behind the police station over the weekend. Nobody got hit that I know of. But everybody kind of feels now that there has been a surrendering of any kind of a safety net. Anything is fair game. It's like this pancake house event yesterday. That shouldn't be happening on a Sunday outdoors, people just eating a meal. No gripe with anybody, and you're put in the line of fire just by going to a restaurant. That appalls people. It certainly appalls me.
As I was listening to BBM this weekend and driving around all the various Home Depots and stuff I go to, listening to or interviewing this young lady at the University of Chicago, I'm going to say, remember commercials? The skin bracer, what you needed was a cold slap in the face. And Joe Frazier knocked himself out, slapping himself. She's demonstrating for defunding the university police.
I laughed when I heard that.
Yeah, I'm like,
you'll see Hyde Park empty of its population.
Yeah.
If they get rid of the UC police force.
But I mean, but there's something, and I'm not going to accuse young people because Maddie's not young anymore. But this me first group, she actually said, Maddie, she goes, I can't believe we were still doing this after three or four demonstrations. They're still funding the police. And I'm like, when did you get in charge of anything? You're a student. They should just expel you. Get the hell out of here. You're causing double time on Saturday. I remember, Ted Hesper came to our dorm one night, and it was some bitch somebody had about something. We're freshman year. And he said, I understand where you're coming from. I see your point. But no, I'm not going to do it. The guy goes, you just said you see my point. I said I saw your point. I didn't say I agreed with it. And by the way, I'm in charge. You're not. That was pretty much the end of the discussion, right?
I mean, that's what you want in a CEO.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like you're always going to be right, but you can't be this constant waffling. I mean, how many weekends are we going to have people run up and down over Chicago? I mean, at some point, you're a student. If you don't like it, go. Here's your transcript. Here's your money back. Get out of here. I mean, the idea of defunding the—I don't. Somehow or another, we have people unclear on the concept. What was the cartoon where they used to back in the '80s and nineties? The guy with the caricature cartoon where they have some guy totally oblivious sitting there and then they unclear on the concept. I mean, the idea right now. I mean, John, if we're not, I sent you guys this thing. I mean, you wonder why there's anarchy. For those that don't know, as part of the CARES Act, there was essentially an anti-eviction clause in there. It said for a certain period of time, you can't evict people. But people are evicting people. Well, it had to do with if the building or the mortgage or something was financed by, what, FHA, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and what's the one that does the military stuff? Ginnie Mae? I think it's Ginnie Mae.
Does it, right.
And, anyway, that you can't evict somebody for such and such a date. Well, people are merrily evicting everybody. So the lawyers go back to the CARES Act. There's no, says you can't evict anybody. But there's no fine. There's no penalty whatsoever if you do. How do you write a law like that? I mean, what are we doing here? Is the anarchy up and down the chain? Clearly these guys that went and shot this restaurant up had zero fear of anything happened to them. They're not going to get arrested. They're not going to get shot by somebody else. I mean, I don't know where we're going here, John. It's getting worse and worse. I mean, to me, and I hate, if we had an election in this town, in this state, and I will mention this to my liberal friends, because now I'm in the middle, it's fairly enlightening. Right now, if Hitler or Mussolini ran for an office here, he'd win. He said, if I'm in charge, you can walk down the street and be safe. We're getting to that stage, John. I think.
Well, you know, you do reach a certain point where people don't make fine distinctions about how extreme candidate A is compared to candidate B. And when push comes to shove, you go with the most extreme one because none of the others seem to be extreme enough for what needs to be done. And that's always a bad situation for, you know, politics to have fallen into, because then it's the extremism that is the only thing people are listening to, because they feel like they've been, all their other remedies have been exhausted, the system itself is not coping with what's going on, and it has to be somebody who just comes in armed and ready to smash things up. And I don't want to see that happen,
no.
Believe me. But you can't blame people for feeling so frustrated either.
But look, this is insanity here when you think of Friday, 3:40. This is day, at least, you know, that's what I was. Oh, Manny, on the way in. If anybody says what happened, why did the Elliott Ness people get here? Why did the Treasury Department show up, and everybody from Washington? It was the St. Valentine's Day massacre. Finally, people said, "Enough's enough. This is broad daylight. This can't happen here. We can't live like this." Right? They go too far. In those days, it was the mob. Now, who the hell knows? But look at this. This is Friday. We started on Friday, 3:35 in the afternoon. 3:40, 3:45, 7, 7:20, 7:20, 8:30, 8:30, 8:40, 8:40. Then the next one, 10:15, I'll say that was dark. All right, Saturday, 6:30 a.m., 3:05, 4:45, 5:15, 5:20. I mean, you would at least, you know, I mean, nobody had basically the balls to shoot people in broad daylight 20 years ago. I mean, now nobody cares. Where are the... And then, of course, if one of these guys gets gunned down by a policeman, then that's a problem. Right? I mean, I don't think we don't run on a foot or horseback, John. We got people getting shot. We got other people protecting the shooters. I don't... But I'm saying, this will not go on like this. Somewhere along the line, you're going to end up with some law and order candidates going to say, you elect me, guess what? You'll be able to walk out your door at night and I get shot. And I'm not going to...
It's what you've been telling people, you know, what you hear from Audrey, you know, your friend who's in real estate, and it's happening in Portland. I think it's happening in any city where you hear about stuff going off the rails. And it's the business owners and it's the residents who are folding up their tent. They're not going to hang around for this. If you can get out and you've got options anywhere anywhere else, you're going to pursue them. And you, again, you can't blame people. And I don't understand why there isn't more addressing of that perception in the way this has been handled this summer. Do they not care about keeping taxpayers here? Do they not care about the quality of life that people have to deal with? I just don't understand how you could be so tone deaf and have such a tin ear about this stuff. What do you get paid to do except to listen to this stuff?
I'm not sure why, again, for somebody who's colorblind, I don't see why you can't say to a black person what you just said is really ignorant. I mean, because you can say it to me, you can say it to you, you can say it to an Asian person. The person who wants to shut down, they have people who want to shut down Michigan Avenue, yet they want more money for the neighborhood. Where do they think the money comes from? I mean, where does this come from? I mean, if you get rid of all the businesses, I mean, the Board of Trade down here, if you bust the place up a few more times, I'm going to say that building, John, you know better than me, what do you suppose the Board of Trade building pays in income tax a year? A million and a half?
Oh.
Two?
It has to be, yeah.
Oh, okay. You shut them down. Now, the million and a half, two is not coming somewhere. Where exactly do you get the extra money for school lunches?
Your bill and my bill.
Well, but I mean, but people here, Audrey's got like four, and Audrey is, I'm going to say, somewhere between nuts and fearless. She went to Awake, and why she didn't call me to go with her, of course, you know, I wasn't going to get my, I don't have a shotgun. She went to 76th and Jeffrey or someplace?
Oh, the old Don Ellen funeral home, yeah.
I go, you did what? She goes, I was the only white person there. It's a friend of mine forever. You know, it's not, she'll go, I've gone to a few of those with her, and some of the people on the trading floor. I mean, we've gone to, she goes, it's, the hood is not the same. She goes, the place is boarded up. It's not even, I had no problem going to those neighborhoods in the midday 10 years ago. Now I'm not so sure, Jen. I don't think anybody even cares. You don't even give people a chance to walk down the block to go to the store. You got bullets firing around. They interviewed some kid last night, and they said, what's it like living here? And he goes, you just get immune to it. You know, a night doesn't go by, you don't hear a shot. And how the hell do you live like that? And 90% of the people are normal and fine. I mean, why do they have no rights whatsoever?
Yeah, you're speaking for a lot of people, Tom. You know, I think people have reached a kind of crossroads where they look at what's going on all over the place, not just Chicago, not just the United States even, but the unrest seems to have gone way beyond what anybody expected. I thought there would be some level of unrest just after the lockdown, that there would be some, you know, explosion of energy that would go in directions nobody expected it to, just because people have been so tamped down and have been deprived of so many things. I didn't foresee all the stuff with George Floyd and Jacob Blake and all the ensuing violence there, or what's happened in Portland either. But that has taken a real toll on people's patience and their outlook here, and their optimism about a lot of things. And I don't see how you compensate for that in such a tight time as we have anyway, with the lockdown and struggling businesses and people out of work. And then you add this to it, and people are really, you know, starting to scrape. They're looking for,
oh, yeah,
for major changes in their lives, and that kind of simmering problem doesn't seem to be at all addressed in local politics in any big city that I can see. Look at New York, my God.
Yeah.
It's just de Blasio has, I think he's just completely lost control of the place.
I think he has, too.
I think Chicago's bad. I think New York puts it to shame.
I have a question for you and Maddie. Whenever this sort of thing happens, and this is the economic history I read, a lot of people seem to make a real lot of money and are always kind of right with it. Do you think all the stuff that's going on here, now if you look at the last decade, Maddie and I reported on this, I don't think you were on, Jen, how many black people have left Chicago in the last decade, Maddie? It's like 80,000 or something?
Yeah.
I think that's right,
some huge number. Do you think this idea that areas have the crime, regular people can't live there, well, other people can't live there either, but regular people surely can't, if they make their escape, they get the hell out, a lot are being pushed to the south suburbs, but a lot are just going to other states, and the same people seem to scoop up the land, inventory it for God knows when, and make the bet that 30 years from now, you know, things will be different. And do you think it's more than just people take advantage of when, in other words, do you think somebody's orchestrating it, Jan?
I used to think so, because it seemed to be so coordinated, and that there was no pushback to stop it or to slow it down. But I thought somebody must be facilitating it or enjoying profits from seeing this happen. And now I'm not so sure that it's coordinated anymore, Tom. I think it's just now, it's reached a point where nobody has control. And these cities are just going to hemorrhage people, and maybe somebody will be left holding a lot of, you know, real estate parcels that they'd love to unload, but they're never going to be able to attract people back in big enough numbers, and certainly not businesses in big enough numbers ever to get money out of those properties when they finally.
Yeah, I think if you were one of the guys that's been meticulously putting this together for 20 years to where you now own, you know 5,000 properties. I think right now you're wondering if you made the right bet.
I know.
I think it's almost gone the other way, but I had one of my clients call me. And he goes, "There's a guy who's got get a little of this on the south side, mostly houses for rent. You know, most of them would have been improved in not horrible neighborhoods. The guy wanted to sell, like, I think there were 1,000 of them." I go, I don't know anybody who has the. How many horses would you need to have to repair, collect rent, and maintain 1,000 individual sites? I mean, we'd have to have how many people? Not to mention how much money to buy it. I mean, I guess if you thought the South Side was a keeper, you'd roll with this. But boy, oh boy.
Well, it's like something David Roeder, who writes the sometimes real estate column every Monday now, and he had a piece in there a couple of weeks ago about the pushback in the city council for affordable housing in Chicago. And he concluded the article saying, you know, that Chicago does not have a shortage of affordable housing. It has a shortage of safe, livable neighborhoods.
Yep.
And I think that the number of unsafe, unlivable neighborhoods is going up pretty steadily. It's not flattening out.
All right, John, you're going to save us the next week, bud. We're running over. Thank you very much. SP Futures up 250, not only 250, and NASDAQ Futures up 20. We might be negative by the time we end the show here. Let's hope not. Right back, Mr. David Edelman.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program.
No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Stocks, jocks,
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello, I'm Pace Tyson Jacks. I'm Tom Alley. This is Brent Weber. SC Futures up 4, NASDAQ Futures up 25. Again, we were up 23 last night in the S&Ps. Dow is still up 65. Actually, no, the Dow is down 2. Again, big movers there. Most of them are in the green, except the big movers are Walmart down 345 and Microsoft down 430. This has to do with this TikTok, the latest move in the checkers or chess. What are they playing, Maddie, with this thing? Now the place that owns them is supposed to be selling them to somebody here to try and save them from just being shut down. Now the Chinese government says, I guess software and stuff is intellectual property, man. Is that what you would call it?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So they are saying that you can buy the company, but you can't buy that. We're not going to let that go. So how the hell that works? I don't know. But anyway, that's what they are looking to do right now. So over in Europe, we've got, London's closed. DAX is up 65.5%. CAC round up 35.7%. Over in Asia, Nikkei up 257. It's 1.1%. Shanghai down 8. It's 0.2%. And we've got Hang Seng down 245, full 1%. So, again, kind of back and forth over there. And Nikkei has been not really trading in tandem with Shanghai and Hang Seng. Probably some of that is because Warren Buffett has bought 5%. Of five big trading firms over in, on the Nikkei. Those would be, with Manny's Zone Traffic Weather Sports, I'll tell you what your companies are. We have the bonds. Again, these things, the bonds are moving here. 0.74, so that's the highest we've seen those in a while. Bund minus 0.38, and Japan still positive 0.05. Oil up 48 cents, 43.45. Brent up 58 cents, 46.49. So the very upper end of the range here. Natural gas down 4%, 261. RBOB down a penny to 130. We've got gold down 470, silver up 32 cents, copper up 2 cents at 304. Maybe what do you got for us, Trevi Weather Sports?
37 minutes past the hour. Good morning once again to everyone out there. Still very quiet, Chief. Coming in on the Edenson Kennedy, Eisenhower, Stevenson, Ryan, I-57, Bishop Ford, all looking good. Lakeshore Drive is quiet in both directions. We have a few crashes out in the suburbs, though. First in Downers Grove. Looks like there's a crash at Maple and Fairview, just northwest of there in Naperville, on Naperville Road at Butterfield. There's a crash in that busy intersection. And just northwest of that in Wheaton, There's a crash, Roosevelt Road at County Farm Road. That's causing a bit of a slowdown. But everything else is looking good out there. Weather today, a beautiful day here in Chicago. Sunshine, low humidity, a high of 84, cooler by the lake. Right now it's crystal clear and 68 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, sunny with a high of 100 today. Right now it's clear and 78. In sports, the White Sox have won 8 out of 10. They took 2 of 3 this weekend from Kansas City, winning in walk-off fashion 5-2 in the 10th. Luis Robert with a 3-run shot in the bottom of the 10th to walk it off for the White Sox. They're now tied atop the AL Central with the Cleveland Indians in first place. Cubs are also in first place. They blew out the Reds 10-1 yesterday. Schwarber, Hayward, and Happ all with 2 home runs in that game. The first time in Major League Baseball history that all 3 starting outfielders of a team hit multiple home runs in the same game. Cubs also acquired a new right-handed DH in Jose Martinez, the veteran out of Tampa Bay, for 2 players to be named later. Martinez is a specialty hitter against lefties. He's batted .319 in his career against left-handers, and the Cubs want some production against lefties because they're 27th out of 30 teams in batting average versus lefties this year. So they'll plug him in when the left-handers are on the mound. Diamondbacks lost to the Giants 4-1. As we talked about last hour, John Rahm wins the BMW Championship, beating Dustin Johnson after they were both tied at 4-under in a one-hole playoff, sinking a 66-foot birdie putt, Chief, which I did watch, which was pretty unbelievable. Dustin Johnson's putt was unbelievable, too, on 18. But John Rahm wins the BMW Championship. And also, legendary basketball coach out of Georgetown, John Thompson, passed away. He was 78. Chief.
The Matty, I think these White Sox are for real.
No doubt. Their lineup is great. Their bullpen is very good. And the fact that guys like Giolito and Keuchel at the top of that rotation are carrying them, they've been great. The back end of the rotation could be troublesome. But yeah, they can really
hit.
Who's
this kid who pitched yesterday? Where'd he come from?
The kid that pitched yesterday.
You know, there was 5 innings and he struck out 7. You have no hits.
Yeah. No, he... let me pull it up here. So I didn't see the White Sox game. I actually did see the last 2 innings of the White Sox game when I got back. But I didn't get to watch that whole game, so I don't know who the starter was.
Well, you'll find it anyway. You're digging for that. I'm going to talk about this Warren Buffett thing for a little bit here. Let me know if we get David.
Well, I've got the starter right here. All right. It's Dunning.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Dane Dunning, 6'4", 225-pound right-hander. He's only 25 years old, so a young guy. I assume they worked him through the rotation. But, yeah, he was very good yesterday. Went 5 innings, a shutout ball.
The other kid's still out for the year, right? Okay. If you opt out for the year, are you out or can you come back?
I guess, I don't know, that's a good question. I think you can come back. I mean, there's guys that started the year that opt out in the middle of the year. Yeah, I think you could come back, but Kopech is recovering from Tommy John, and he's like, I'm not going to rush back for this shortened season. I'll be full strength next year. Can't blame him for that, although they could probably use him. But you look at the White Sox lineup. I know you want to talk about some other stuff.
No, I'm going to the point where I'm a believer, but they're also the best division in baseball.
Yeah, you got Tim Anderson at the top, who won the batting title last year. Well, he is not disappointing this year. He's batting .343 as your leadoff hitter, and he gets on base at .380, which is pretty darn good. So that's at the top. Then you have Eloy Jimenez, the former Cub, who's batting over .300 and hitting home runs, slugging the ball as well. The free agent signings, Grandal and Encarnacion, haven't been quite as good, but you have to think those guys are going to bounce back. But then Jose Abreu has just been a beast. McCann, the catcher that's not playing every day, but he's starting to play more, who I asked Josh Nelson about when we had him on a couple weeks ago. I was like, why isn't this guy playing more? And all he's done is hit. He's batting .340 with a .410 on-base percentage, and he's the one that caught the no-hitter. They seem to like him behind the plate as well. They even played Grandal at first base last night because they're trying to get McCann in there. They got pieces, and Luis Robert might be better than all these guys, and he's the young guy who they really like. That's MLB is rated the 3rd best prospect in all baseball. And
he's a 5-tool guy.
He's a 5-tool guy that hit the big 3-run homer to walk it off yesterday. He's batting .291 with a .340 on-base percentage, and he plays an elite center field. So you have five guys in that lineup that are all young, that are all hitting at the same time, and that's a scary lineup from top to bottom.
Why are the Cubs batting average suck so bad? Because they strike out so much?
Great question. It's outside of like Ian Happ, who's, you know, around 275 or 280 or whatever.
They got nobody at 320 or like that.
No, they don't have anybody at 300 that's playing every day. Hayward's been really good of late, to give him credit. But they don't stress. They've always, their philosophy has always been more about taking walks and getting on base. If you look at their on base percentages, they're just as good as the White Sox, if not better. Ian Happ's on base percentage is .417, but he's batting .294 batting average wise. Rizzo, his batting .235, and you're like, oh, that sucks. But his on base percentage is .373. Anybody.
He's had a huge last month.
Yeah, Schwarber is only batting .228, but his on base percentage is over .330 because they walk so much. So, you know, you'd like them to put the ball in play more. We all would. But their philosophy as an organization has been, we don't care if it's a walk or a single. We just want you on base.
Well, the idea. I watch them hit into the shift so much. It drives, maybe because I'm more of a softball player, but it drives, just drive me nuts. They're not Ted Williams. You got to change a little bit, I think. But anyway, certainly situationally, when you give somebody the whole left side of the infield in a situation where you don't need a home run, you just need a guy on base, to me, you're just, we talk about daring somebody. I mean, that should be an easy one.
But. Yeah, the Cubs really need Baez and Contreras to figure it out, and both of those guys have really struggled all year. Baez has shown signs of life over the last week or so, and hopefully he can bounce back. But those two guys are two guys you're counting on as two of your five best players.
Why would you ever?
And they have not shown up. And then you factor in Chris Bryant, who not only has he been hurt, but when he played, he wasn't very good. So three of your five or six best guys have all been bad, and you're still in first place. To me, they're almost overachieving right now.
I think the Bryant's new wife should better start ratcheting down her dreams of gold in his new contract.
If he thinks he's getting like a Mike Trout type contract, he's out of his mind.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I mean, the guy is a great talent, great clubhouse guy. Everyone likes him. I like him, but I mean, he has still been very good, but he hasn't been anywhere near the same player he was in 2016 when he won the MVP. And it's been a gradual decline. And now you're starting to factor in more injuries. Like I said, I really like the guy, and he's still very good. But, yeah, and you throw in the fact that David Bodie's been pretty damn good behind him for a fraction of the cost. I don't think the Cubs are going to give him the type of money that he thinks he's getting. Maybe he'll get it somewhere else. I don't know.
Well, I mean, I know guys that have, you know, had a – I mean, I don't know. You never can interject yourself in somebody else's injury, but I know guys that just taped two fingers together and played. I mean, you know, I mean, he's been how long now, and it wasn't even broken.
Right. They thought it was fine. Then they thought they'd give him a couple days. Then they shot him up with whatever they shoot you up with, and they thought he'd be back after like a week. And now it's on the injured list, and we'll see. So, I mean, hopefully he's back soon. But yeah, it was obviously much worse than they thought originally.
Well, this Buffett is buying into here now. Is this starting to sound like my significant other? You know, whatever. When you're good at a lot of stuff and you work hard at certain things, you don't have time to do all the rest of the stuff, man. And I don't expect anybody to dig through the economics of this as much as, right now, I would say if you listen to people on the show, you probably are up to speed on more economic theory than 90% of the population without even knowing it. But, you know, the idea that, somehow we have the Democrats are going socialist, which in a lot of ways they are, which I don't appreciate at all, by the way, as a former Democrat. But the idea that they don't see something drastically wrong with their economic system, I mean, it is absolutely not. It's not competitive capitalism virtually anywhere that counts. It is in saloons and barbershops, but in terms of the overall, you know, the overall world and beauticians, that's not the economy. Any place that where there's real money is becoming more and more concentrated, and it's very much crony capitalism, and it needs to get fixed. The reason these riots are not happening for no reason. The fact is, a few people got all the dough, and I look at my industry. You know, there used to be, well, with the Board of Trade, the Merck, and the CBOE. I'm going to say there were 1,200, 3,500, 7,000 traders. you know, not all making money, but making markets and various things. And now there's 20 making $1 million a day, paying off the people that sent them the order flow to not care about good fills. I mean, what are we doing? I mean, this is not even, it's not even the planet of what normalcy should be. But when you look at some of these other countries, it's very, what Warren Buffett just bought, for those that have been watching this, he bought a 5% stake in each of the five leading Japanese trading companies. All right, so what does that mean, Maddie? When you'd say trading companies, wow, the five biggest traders on the CBOE? No. He acquired the holdings in, I only know a couple of these places. Itochu Corp, you ever hear of them?
I have not.
Marubeni Corp, not heard of them. Mitsubishi Corp, obviously I have. Mitsul I've seen, and Sumitomo I know. Over roughly 12-month period through regular purchases on the Tokyo Stock Exchange. Based on Friday's closing prices, a 5% in each would be valued at roughly $6.25 billion. They plan to hold these investments for the long term. Guy's 90 years old and he's invested for the long term. You gotta like that, huh? Anyway, but these companies, here's what they do. The Japanese trading companies, also known as Sogo Shosha. One thing about Japan, everything has a name, Eddie.
Well said.
Did you ever?
Sometimes your pronunciations hit the point. That was pretty good.
I'm good at Italian because everything is pronounced exactly as it's written.
Right. It's like any of the Latin based languages are actually pretty easy to read.
But our stuff, you know, the English is, you know.
No. What about German?
Yeah.
No chance.
Ein Bier. Anyway, Japanese trading companies, also known as Soga Shosha, I'm going to say the name of this because I'm reading the poor guy's article. Wow, it's from Becky Quick, our girlfriend. John says she's the nicest lady. She's on in the morning. And obviously she knows something about Japan because this is a pretty well-read article. Our conglomerates that import everything from energy and metals to food and textiles into resource-scarce Japan. They also provide services to manufacturers. In other words, the entire supply chain into Japan is basically run by these five places. So, I mean, you don't get to be Maddie Weber's, pasta place without buying the wheat from these guys. So they're clearly a rate determining step in chemistry, remember? But then they're also trying to do, expand overseas. So, that's what you see what you're happening here. And I wonder, as we were talking about, my guy over at Al's, you know, sandwiches for the guys, you really wonder when Trump, as you know, I mean, from a guy to my mother's cousin went to Japan, China, I'm going to say a month after the ping pong diplomacy, and these guys wanted to buy one of every kind of machine so they could essentially copy it. And he said basically up yours and headed back to his plane. Big tough Italian guy was not about to go for that. That this has been going on with China forever. I mean, there's some people that sell stuff there and think it's the best thing, it's in sliced bread, or somebody else where they steal all their stuff. And there's other people they pay royalties to and then steal the stuff and probably would still do it. I mean, Boeing is willing to sell the plans of the 737, which isn't flying, I guess, in order for China to order up a certain amount of the planes, and they'll even let them make the tail or whatever the hell they're making over there. So a lot of this stuff is business to business, and they're stealing property rights. Now, who's to say we're not as well? I'm not one of those people that say, well, we're doing it too. China's made an absolute national sport out of it. I mean, from back in, you know, them copying all the Beatle albums without giving the Beatles any money. I mean, from day one, man. I mean, that's been their shtick. So, but when you get so involved with a place, I mean, I don't know if you're doing any shopping lately, but if you're trying to buy anything in the construction area, as you know, my brother Dan's been, 2 weeks trying to find a bike tube? 3 weeks?
Yeah, the supply chain's affecting. I'm trying to buy some Clorox wipes right now.
Yeah.
It's hard to find anything.
But I mean, when you open up this fight like Trump has done, and now he's pushing it to the big time, because I actually read a year ago that part of his reelection strategy was that he's tougher on China than you know, spaghetti spine Joe Biden. And Obama and that whole group, because those guys weren't very tough on China. Of course, neither was Bush. I mean, it's not been, Now, whether Trump really has been tough on him or just mouths about it, who knows? He's raised tariffs, and whether he's just caused problems on both sides without really being tough, I don't know. I don't know enough about it. But the point being is before you start one of these fights, you should have a knowledge base of like, what exactly are we getting from these guys? What can't we do without? How can we cover for it? I think these guys, him and Lori and Jay and all these other mayors and governors you see on TV, do they do any homework? Do they have any reflection on this, man? Do you spend 3 weeks with your staff and go away for a weekend and say, okay, if we do this, what's liable to happen? Somebody's going to say, it looks like nothing. Or somebody else is going to go, what are you talking about? We're not going to have any. We've shoved all of our rare earth stuff over there because we don't want the pollution here. We're not going to get a TV. What can happen? I don't think it's necessarily bad politics. I just think it's incompetence. I don't think they know, Matty.
I mean, you're right about that. Bob writes in, does Abe leaving have any bearing on Buffett's move?
I said he's been accumulating this over like a year or two. It was all done in the open market. So I'm going to say no. I mean, that would be my vote. But he'll know. I'll read what it says, and he can make his own determination. It said it's from Becky Quick, and I think she does. He's acquired the holdings over a roughly 12-month period through regular purchase on the Tokyo Stock Exchange. Doesn't sound like he was looking for this guy to get sick and quit, does it?
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't mean I'd say there's a 90% chance of this being that being a no to that question.
I would agree. Kevin writes in real quick on the Dane Dunning thing. Apparently, and I remember this now that I'm reading it, but I had forgotten this. Dane Dunning is a former Nationals first-round pick that the White Sox acquired in the Adam Eaton trade, where they also got Lucas Giolito and Ronaldo Lopez. Talk about a fleecing. That's very similar to like the Jake Arrieta, Pedro Strop trade that the Cubs got, where you get two big-time players for essentially nothing because they just apparently needed a change of scenery. But this is his first year back from Tommy John surgery, and he's looked pretty good.
These guys never used to come back from Tommy John surgery with the same velocity, and now they do.
Now they seem to, yeah. It takes about a year or a year and a half, and then they seem to get it right back. And then they're almost better for it because it's out of the way. Occasionally you'll have a guy that has to have it twice, but very rarely. Usually they're pretty good after they've had it.
I had a... years and years ago, I had a biking accident, and I had a compound dislocation of a finger. Anyway, the guy had put it back together. And I started talking to him about Tommy John surgery, and he said a lot of it is, he goes, the surgery isn't really any more difficult than what I just did to your finger. Because, in fact, what I just did to your finger is probably more complicated. He said, but the guy in Alabama, they've got it absolutely down to a point where they know just how to do it, and they control all the rehab. So much of it is rehab. And if you just send somebody home and say, do 5 push-ups as soon as you can every day, that doesn't cut it. So to have the organization behind you is a real big deal. And I think they just keep getting better and better at that. Because the surgery itself, you can find a tendon in somebody's body. But sometimes people don't have that tendon, which is weird. You actually got to get it out of a cadaver. But he says the idea that you're better. If that person had a genetically weak area, you probably could be better than before. He said, but generally, if you just are crazy and don't warm up and throw a curveball and tear your tendon, the idea that you're going to be better after the surgery, he goes, that's not happening. I mean, nobody's better after surgery. He says, but these guys get pretty darn close. And he says, it's all in the rehab. I mean, they're all they stay there for a few weeks. They get them started. They do this. All these guys done in Alabama. He said he has a center. This is years ago. He said the guy has they'll do like 10 of these surgeries at one, maybe not 10, but multiple surgeries at once. And he doesn't do any of them. He sits in a room with incredible cameras and he watches every single one. And if one of them is not going right, then he goes out to that one. He said, but he has individual people that probably have better hands than him. I wonder when that's going to be, if that's ever going to be one of those where you do by machine.
Yeah.
Because some of those things, what do they call those things? What's the name of the thing? What's the name of the machine? We've talked about it on the air all the time. Oh, hell. Not Zamboni, but something like that. anyway, so we have now, we have market's barely up. We're only up two now. Again, the NASDAQ futures only down, only up 13. And then the stocks in the Dow that are going down, again, are Walmart and not only down 175. This is all going to be news-driven. So if you trade Walmart or Microsoft today, don't be careful because this is totally in the news. Nothing else is moving. Matty, we'll be back tomorrow. Stacks and Jacks, we should have, what do we have tomorrow? We should have, hopefully have Jeff back.
We'll have Jeff back. We'll have Joel. We'll have Kenny. Should be good.
Should be good.
Hey, guys.
What's up, G?
Want to go to Tchotchke's? Get some coffee?
A little early. I mean,
I gotta get out of here. I think I'm gonna lose it.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to ptisecurities.com. PTI Pro Direct. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at ptiprodirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. DAX Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.